Author David Benjamin is on the phone line live with us this morning here on WRCO. We've talked a lot about his books in the past, the last kid books, and lots of great stuff through the years. Well, he has a new one coming out about his experiences in Paris, and we welcome him along the phone line here today. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Phil. It's good to talk to you again.
Great to have you on this first day of spring. How about it?
I hadn't noticed. It's cold out.
I know. I hadn't noticed either. So the new book coming out is called An Apartment in Paris. And I know that you spend quite a bit of time in Paris, don't you?
Yes. We bought the apartment in 1995 after visiting Paris frequently on my wife's vacation. My wife does watercolors. She's a very good painter, besides being one of the best journalists I know. Her favorite subject for painting was Paris. So when we were living in Tokyo and then in California, every time she had a vacation from her job, we spent 2 weeks in Paris, and she painted, I took pictures, I did some writing, and we got interested in finding a place to live in Paris on the theory that if you're going to own real estate, you should own it not where you have to be, but where you want to be.
Good point. You've spent a little time there. How are tourists such as myself viewed upon by the locals in Paris?
That's one of my pet issues. I think the Parisians, as a rule, are more tolerant of tourists than I am. I watched their behavior, and actually, one of the themes of this book, one of the humorous themes, is the behavior of tourists, especially American tourists, who really don't understand what I think of as Paris etiquette. And so, there are a lot of funny episodes where we are eating out or in somewhere in Paris, and we just stop and stare with a kind of an amazement at how boorish tourists can be, I try to handle this, of course, with humor. I don't exactly tear people apart, but there are some fun scenes in the book about how tourists behave, and also there's also the point that this book is, we started going to Paris in 1990. We've been going to Paris and staying there, living there from time to time ever since then. This book was early in our period in Paris, and so it was a kind of a chronicle of our education in Paris as we hunted for an apartment there.
It gives a little tour of the bistros and cafes, which eating out is one of the prime things in Paris, isn't it?
One of the things that I tell friends who come to Paris, or anybody actually, is that you should budget for bistro meals. There are a lot of tourist traps that draw tourists in for semi-authentic French food, but I advise people to get a good bistro guidebook, most bistros are affordable. They're not McDonald's. They're not cheap food. They're not fast food. Your typical two people eating out in Paris is in the range of $100, $150, and you should budget for that because Paris is the best city in the world to eat out, and you should prepare for that. I tell people the most important thing you can do in Paris is every evening eat out at a place that's cozy and fun and has excellent food, and those are easy to find. Paris is full of places like that.
Yeah, they certainly are. The other thing, is sometimes the language barrier, but I've been amazed that most everyone can speak a little English there.
I have a problem with French menus because I'm so used to reading them in French that if I'm handed an English menu, I really don't understand what the food is. well, our experience, and this is another piece of advice I give to people, is that everybody takes a Rick Steve or a Frommer or a Fodor guidebook with them to Paris, and there's always a section of French phrases. And if you go into a bistro, a restaurant, and you try to speak a little bit of French, and you bungle it, the waiter will appreciate your effort, and he will switch to English and help you out. But if you believe that really loud English is French, you won't get a whole lot of help from the waiter in that case. So even a little bit of French, even badly pronounced and ungrammatical, is better than depending entirely on your only language.
Will it be a good read for somebody who is planning a trip to Paris?
Yeah, this is my fourth book that takes place in Paris. The first one I published was called Three's a Crowd, which is a murder story. And then I wrote a mystery called Skullduggery in the Latin Quarter. Year before last, I published a novel within a novel based on bistro visits called Bistro Nights. And so an apartment in Paris is the fourth of my Paris quartet, I guess. And any one of those books is an effective assistant to going to Paris, because Joko and I at this time have become old hands at Paris. We know the city pretty much from edge to edge, and the little things that you learn in the course of reading any book that's set in another city, in a strange place, in an exotic place, is helpful if you're going to be visiting it sometime soon.
Did you write it while you were at home in Madison, or did you write it while you were in France?
That's an interesting thing. I wrote it probably around about 25 years ago. And I set it aside. There were complications in the structure of the book that I didn't think would be easy to sell to a publisher. But now, of course, I'm my own publisher. And I just thought it was a little bit too personal to really be publishable. We have a friend in Paris. Her name is Roberta Beardsley. She helped us find our apartment, she's still a friend. We still go out with her. We still have great fun with her. And Roberta, we call her our guardian angel. And Roberta, our guardian angel, encouraged me. She had a copy of the manuscript that I'd given her, and she encouraged me to go back to it and think about publishing it. And my wife, Joko, had the same attitude. And so I did go back to it, and I realized that it was better than I expected it to be. And so I went through the entire book in hard copy and transcribed the whole thing, added some material, and edited it in my inimitable editing style, and came out with a manuscript that I was pretty happy with. And I'm looking forward to putting this getting this out on the street.
So you put out books that were loosely based on you growing up in Toma area, and Last Kid books, and we had you on when you were talking about the book Killing Kennedy as well. So you kind of rotate and alternate what style or what kind of book you're going to put out next, David?
Yeah, I'm notorious for my inability to stick to one genre. Serious publishers hate that kind of thing. They want writers to do the same book over and over again. There's a passage in the book that I put in the front of the book brings together that my background with life in Paris. And I've got it up on my screen. Is it okay if I read it to you?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. The setup for this is that we live on a street called Rue Saint-Séverin, It's named after the church on the street, which is a 12th century church. It's the same age as Notre Dame. excuse me. Walking toward our door from Rue Saint-Jacques, I look up. The early sun reflects off the modest steeple of Saint-Séverin, illuminating the 800-year-old stone and spreading sharp-edged shadows among the buttresses, roof peaks, and gargoyles. The gargoyles jut out over the street, blind and gape-mouthed, stained, wind-scored, and eternal against a jagged lapis sky. Seeing this street is a humbling stroll through time and art. It's a miracle of history that has survived the depredations of countless generations of demolition mankind. Living on this street is a stroke of remarkable fortune. I started out on Pearl Street in Tomah, Wisconsin, population 44,500. Now my address is Rue Saint-Séverin, Paris. This might be the greatest impossibility since Tiny Tim had a top 40 hit. That's the end.
Oh, that's awesome. It's funny that you mentioned music, too. So one of my Paris experiences was I recorded my program before our trip, and I was doing a tribute to 1967. So I left. The last song I played, we got off the plane and got out of the car, walked into this cafe in Paris. It was the first song I heard in Paris. It was the same song I'd played when I left America. So I kind of noted that seems like a great love for 60s music there at some of the establishments.
One of the interesting things is that Paris. You know, I'm a big jazz maven, and Paris is known as a kind of a refuge for jazz musicians, guys like Dexter Gordon and Eartha Kitt and so forth. But when you go into cafes and stuff. Very often what you hear is soft rock from the 60s and 70s, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The other thing you mentioned when you were reading there, too, is the other thing that amazed me was the age of the buildings. You know, some of the years on the cornerstones just blew me away.
Paris has a certain color. One author wrote about the fact that there's this kind of consistent beige to Paris, and that's because most of the buildings that went up before the 20th century were built from limestone that was quarried from underneath the city. The city is built on a huge mass of limestone, and so you get that consistent color all through the city, and that tone, and you know, and the color changes with the sunlight. If you stand in front of Notre Dame, for instance, in the morning, the towers are both of a kind of a deep gray. But if you go there at 7 o'clock at night when the sun is going down, the limestone is suddenly pink, and it's a remarkable feature of the city. And of course, the other thing is that the limestone quarries were turned into catacombs, where 6 million poor people were buried under the city after they cleared out all the cemeteries and all the churches and charnel houses in the city. And the catacombs are a wonderful experience.
The book is An Apartment in Paris, David Benjamin, the author, and I understand it actually officially gets released in April. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm going to press any day now, and it should be off the press about the middle of April, yeah. And you can be, you can actually pre-order it now, I think. I'm working with my distributor, but it can be pre-ordered at my website, which is www.lastkidbooks.com.
Okay, wonderful. Any other books coming out this year, David?
Yeah, for the my fall book is going to be, I think, a collection of my essays called Benjamin's Mess.
Well titled. All right, David, we appreciate you checking in with us so much, and good luck with the new book.
Oh, thank you very much, Phil.
Author David Benjamin joining us in An Apartment in Paris. And you can check that out. And, of course, check it out at Okooch Books and Libations. Locally here, Daniel can always get copies of those books for you as well.